Welcome in to Talking Terps, a show which covers University of Maryland basketball and football. Talking Terps is part of BSL Radio. Baltimore Sports and Life is dedicated to analysis and discussion on the Baltimore Orioles, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Terrapins. The site has a team of writers providing coverage of those teams and houses live streaming content weekly. Join the conversations on the message board, like BSL on Facebook, and follow BSL on Twitter.
Welcome into Talking Terps. I'm your host, Zach Kiesel. Mike Popova couldn't be with us today, but I got Pat Donahue here to go over Maryland football and basketball. We're going to touch on both today. Pat, I want to start with the news of today, which is that Taulia Tagovailoa has officially opted out of Maryland's bowl game next week. A little interesting, because I know after the Rutgers game, he said he did plan to play in the bowl game, so this is a reversal from that. But obviously will be a big opportunity for Billy Edwards, who is expected to start, and then Cameron Edge, who it sounds like, according to Loxley, is going to play in this game. So both of those guys are the big opportunity. So what do you make of the decision and kind of the opportunity for both of those guys?
Well, I guess I'll start with the decision. It's hard for me to make anything of it because who knows what went into it per se and exactly, you know, where he's getting his advice from. I do think it's a little strange that he initially said he would play and then he wouldn't, but you know, I can't fault one student athlete from opting out because they're looking for their own future and then criticize another. So in general, you know, I think a lot of these guys are doing it for the same reason, to preserve their future. I do think Taulia has an NFL future, whether he'll succeed at that level like his brother or not, who knows, but I do think he'll get a shot. And he's got to think about that. So, you know, it's not a New Year's Six Bowl. It wasn't necessarily the season that I don't think Taulia won it or we won it as Maryland fans. So even before hearing the news that he was opted out, doing the very little research I've done so far on this matchup, I wasn't necessarily liking Maryland's chances very much. So it might not be much of a difference. I think that also, now kind of going to the second part of your question, lead to why Mike Loxley's already coming out and saying both quarterbacks will play. He probably foresees how this game's going to go a little bit, but also at the end of the day, what does this game really mean other than for his standpoint, seeing what he has for next year and, you know, getting these guys who have been working hard for him all year one last hurrah before the season ends. So, you know, it's a great experience for the whole team to go, that they made a bowl game, they get to travel as a team one more time and get all the, you know, that full bowl game experience that the student athletes get. But, if everyone involves being really realistic about it, this game, the odds are stacked against Maryland to begin with. And I haven't dove into Auburn's opt-outs yet. I do believe that they're, at least from what I read, it could have been an old article, but I do believe that their quarterback and running back are playing. Maybe not. I don't know. But that's kind of their two heavy hitters. And if they have those guys, then it could be a long day. So we've seen Billy Edwards play well in the past. We don't really know what we have that much in Cameron Edge, but we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about Auburn a bit in a bit. They do return. Peyton Thorne and Marquez Hunter, quarterback and running back, are expected to play.
Yeah.
So that's obviously big. But both of their starting corners opted out. So a little bit of balance there. Speaking
Taulia
of corners,
could have had himself a good game if he played, it sounds like.
That's what I'm saying. And they're kind of led by their pass defense. So that'll be an interesting wrinkle.
And he already got the Big Ten passing record, but like, he could have added on to that. You know,
he could have padded those stats. Yeah.
I don't know. Having never been in that situation to make such a crucial decision, if I had the opportunity, if the choice was to preserve making millions of dollars versus win, you know, playing in a bowl game, not necessarily winning a bowl game, but playing in a bowl game, I might go for the millions myself. So
yeah, and the word is that it was his father who was pushing for him to opt out. Taulia, by all accounts, wanted to play, which lends itself to those comments he made after the Rutgers game, but I guess his father has advised him against it. I don't know what they're hearing as far as NFL teams, whether they've made contact, and I'm sure they have, as far as what they're thinking as far as his draft stock at the moment. I don't know if he's going to participate in any sort of senior bowl. I don't think so. So next time we'll see him is at the Combine or Maryland's Senior Day. But or pro day. Speaking of corners, though, Maryland is definitely going to be thin at the cornerback position. Tarheeb Stills already opted out. He's going to the draft. Corey Coley, Gavin Gibson, and Tamarcus Cooley all in the portal. Two of those guys are headed to NC State. Jaquan Shepherd is going to play, thank God, because I. But other than him, it's a bunch of inexperienced guys. You're looking at like Lionel Whitaker and a few other, Mikel Mormon, like guys who pretty much haven't played all year. Maybe they've touched special teams, but this is going to be an interesting game. I guess on the positive side, you've got both of your starting safeties because Bo Braid is going to play, even though he is still expected to declare for the draft. Auburn's offense is led by their running attack, by both their quarterback and running back. Passing-wise, not very strong. So that'll be interesting, but as we talked about just a second ago with the quarterbacks, this is going to be an opportunity for some of those young DBs. There's a lot of guys coming in next year's class. They've already added one, Jalen Husky from Bowling Green, a transfer for next year, who is probably going to get an opportunity to start immediately. Looks like a good all-MAC guy there at the cornerback position, but this is going to be an opportunity again for some of these young guys. We've seen it the last couple of years, some of these young corners to step up and make their case for playing time next season, because it's Jaquan Shepherd and then a bunch of other dudes that we really haven't heard of.
Yeah, I mean, that's that. You said it. Shepherd's the only guy that we know anything about at this juncture. So I guess the silver lining to this whole thing for Maryland fans and Maryland coaches is that we're getting to see a little glimpse into the, you know, maybe some future starters or key contributors that are currently on the roster. So, you know, we'll get a little look at that. I do think having the safeties, you know, if you gave me my choice, I could have my starting safeties or my starting corners. I would probably choose the safeties, especially yeah. given Auburn's strengths. And, you know, I know you want to talk about Auburn a little bit, but I have their team stats up, and I mean, they are as run heavy as it gets.
Yeah,
pretty much as a program. So that's got to be the focus. The safeties are good in that regard. So, the corners might not have to do too much in terms of covering, as long as these young guys come in energetic and willing to tackle. That might do well for them.
Yeah, Bo Braid definitely plays a role as a box safety. I don't know how much. You'd think on paper they play a lot of zone, a lot of two deep quarters coverage, but might be able to sneak Bo Braid down into the box to help with the run, because you're not going to have Jayshon Barham in the middle at linebacker. Obviously, he's in the portal. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago because he was an early entrant. But yeah, Auburn run heavy. Marquez Hunter averaging 5.9 yards per carry. They're running back 7 touchdowns. Peyton Thorne's run for 520 yards, 3 touchdowns. Yeah, it's run, because no receiver on the team, including tight ends, has more than 350 receiving yards. So yeah, that's kind of wild to see. Like, even when Maryland was a run heavy, that's almost like triple option style stats where they just don't throw the ball. 63% completion percentage from Peyton Thorne. I don't know if they run a lot of screens. I don't know what they do as far as that goes. I know that their top wide receiver, Jarvarius Johnson, is in the portal. They do have Rivaldo Fairweather, which is a great name, tight end. That's their leading receiver. But again, he's got like 349 receiving yards. So very run heavy.
6 receiving touchdowns. So
right, big red zone threat
to in the red zone. Yeah. So that, again, that has to go into Maryland's scouting report, and that'll also, you know, that'll most likely be a safety's responsibility in that situation. So, it is kind of, like I said, I don't like the matchup for Maryland. Maryland has struggled against the run all year, especially the inside zone run that Auburn likes to run. So I don't like the matchup, but I do think that stylistically, you know, given the fact that we won't have our corners and the fact that Auburn's not going to be throwing, at least that should help Maryland a little bit. If they can really just focus on, you know, stopping the run, I know that's been an issue for them all year, but if they can, you know, virtually take advantage of a team making itself one-dimensional, maybe they can give themselves a chance in this game.
Yeah, and as far as transfer portal entrants, Maryland hasn't had nearly as many among the front seven. So you're going to have most of those guys playing in this game.
Yeah.
So that's something at least. Like you said, a lot of the corners are out. On paper, you'd think, we'll just play zone and play safe. But then against such a run-heavy team, you probably want to load the box.
Right.
So yeah, that'll be an interesting something interesting for Brian Williams when he's drawing up his defense.
Right, you're not going to want to play too much too high safety, or
it's tough
safety, but you got, how do you protect those inexperienced corners? You know,
I mean, it's probably a bend but don't break. Don't let them rack off 10, 15, 20 yard runs. Make them matriculate their way down the field, and then in the red zone, lock up on that tight end and really pack things in and hold them to field goals. I mean, that's probably, when you're dealing with such inexperience at the among the secondary, especially at corner, it's probably what you have to do, especially when talent wise, this is an SEC team, especially in the trenches, you're probably a bit overmatched. So playing it a bit safer. Obviously, if Maryland can hold on to the ball and string together some drives there, you know, I think defensively for Maryland, despite both of Auburn's corners being out, being able to run the ball in this game would be huge for them. Take some pressure off of Billy Edwards. He's not nearly the passer that Talia is. Most quarterbacks in the country aren't. What Billy does give you is more of a run threat. He's much more comfortable running that zone read. So that could be interesting. He's a big guy, basically built like a running back, a big running back. So if the offensive line can open up some holes, I know that Auburn's best defensive lineman is headed to the NFL, and he's not going to be playing in this game. So a weak run defense that it's been all year for Auburn might be a little bit weaker. They do have a safety, Jalen Simpson, who has four picks this year, so something to watch for there. And then Eugene Asante, their linebacker, has 84 tackles this year, 8.5 for a loss and 5 sacks. So may want to account for that guy when Maryland has the ball. But yeah, if you can run the ball, I mean, shorten the game a little bit, take some pressure off of your defense and whoever the quarterback is. That seems like the best recipe for success for Maryland offensively. I will say, I'm excited to see if Cameron Edge can do something in this game, because we kind of know what to expect from Billy Edwards. We've seen him start games for Maryland the last couple years. Cameron Edge is kind of that unknown. He's been in the program a few years. We saw him in the first game this year against Towson. The arm looked live, but it was a couple throws, so it's hard to know. If he can string together some drives here, that's a legitimate competition headed into the spring with NC State transfer MJ Morris.
Yeah, and you get the sense that that's kind of what Loxley's trying to do, start that competition now and get all the data that he can. And, maybe he will surprise us like Billy Edwards did. So we will see.
Yeah, he's got the better arm and a real big, strong arm, too, down the field. And look, Maryland's receivers, you've got some good receivers playing in this game. I don't know if Jayshon Jones is playing. I haven't heard him that he's opted out. So that'll be something to watch, Maryland's receivers. I know that Loxley's been talking about Octavian Smith, wanting him to make a step forward, and Shalik Knotts. I think he's really expecting a lot from him. I think they've seen a lot in practice. It hasn't translated to games. I know Loxley at his press conference today was specifically mentioned Knotts as a guy who he wants to see take a step forward in this game. So look for them to target him early and often. We've seen flashes from him. A lot of talent, four-star recruit. I think North Carolina. It's something to watch for when Maryland has the ball in the passing game.
Yeah, might see a lot of new names emerge in this one.
So, obviously, they're without Corey Dyches, too. So, this is going to be a Preston Howard game, tight end.
Right.
Yeah. Switching over to basketball for just a minute. They've got a final tune-up game tonight as we're recording this, Tuesday night against Nichols. They are coming out to my neck of the woods, Southern California, UCLA, on Friday night. It's really their last non-conference test before conference play fully starts up January 2nd. Maryland currently ranked 72nd in KenPom. UCLA is 48th. So just looking forward to that game a little bit. I don't know if you've seen any of UCLA this year. I don't think I have. But I know that just looking at the numbers, it seems like a little less dominant than last year, but it's a typical Mick Cronin team, very strong defensively, some struggles early this year shooting the ball, probably sounds familiar. They've looked, I think, a little better than Maryland. But overall, definitely a test to get these guys to go to the West Coast. It's going to be a tough road trip on a relatively short week. I mean, 3 days late after this nickel state game. So I don't know if you're that familiar with what UCLA has to offer.
I really only watched them a little bit early this year when they played Marquette and when they played Gonzaga. I think that was part of the same holiday tournament. So that was on neutral territory, obviously, so I didn't get to see them at home. It looks like they have not lost a home game yet this year, but haven't really played anyone yet either. They did lose their last two to Villanova at Villanova and on a neutral floor to Ohio State. So, like, those aren't bad losses, but those also aren't world-beating teams this year. And what's interesting is in that holiday tournament, they only lost to Marquette by two and Gonzaga by four, which I think are both very good teams. At least I think Marquette is a very good team this year. So UCLA definitely has fight what it is, and you kind of hit on this, but Mick Cronin, they're going to be a well-coached team, and this is a bit of a turnover year for them. They don't have any of the names that you would recognize from these past couple Final Four or whatever they, however far they went, Elite Eight runs and whatever. They are starting two freshmen and two sophomores, and these are all just young guys. So they haven't really they have one junior in there, Stefanovic, who's, I think some people will recognize a little bit. He's a wing player, but this team is probably going to be one of those teams that gets better as the year goes on, gets in the tournament, has a shot to beat anyone or lose to anyone on any given day. But what you're going to see is a young, inexperienced, but yet talented team that's well coached. So kind of depending on the mistakes they make that night and how they show up, it is probably what you're going to see. And the fact that they're coming off two losses, well, they do have a game in between. They play Cal State Northridge before Maryland, so I'm sure they'll get back on the winning track. But they're really going to be looking to, in front of their home crowd, get a good signature win to kind of probably calm the nerves of the fan base out there. So it's going to be a tough one for Maryland, especially on the road and with that short rest, like you said. Like I wrote in my article this week, that kind of had this little stretch, whether it was by design or not, they had this little stretch in between those early Big Ten games and then, you know, this UCLA game and then the rest of the Big Ten schedule, where they've had some really bad teams to, you know, basically run scrimmages against. And that gives you the opportunity to really work on yourself. But there's a lot of things this team needs to work on. And I think in my article, I even kind of dove into what those things are. And it's tough. Mark Turgeon used to say all the time, in season, it's very tough to work on things. You know, especially once the conference schedule gets started, it's constant travel, constant scouting, constant, logistics. And you don't have a lot of time to self-scout. And so you take, you know, whether it's winter break or a break in the schedule to kind of do those things here and there. I don't know if Maryland's had that time to really do that. I think that, you know, they won by 40 against one of the worst teams in Division I college basketball. So take that for what you will. All I can say is that it's a litmus test. We're going to get to see if they really did get to improve some things and really have gotten some confidence back, because UCLA at home is not going to be easy.
Yeah, they had a week before the Alcorn State game without any games, and then now they've had a week between this Alcorn State game and Nichols game. So that's something. There's finals in there, so it's not as much practice time as you think they'd have.
That's kind of what I meant with logistics, because Mark Turgeon would bring that up all the time. It's like you would think during the December month and during the holidays that they're getting all this extra time off, but that's the time where the kids actually do have more academic responsibilities. But then again, just not having to travel, it does allow for a lot more basketball time and a lot more, you know, getting in the gym if you need to get shots up or you know, getting with a coach and watching film if that's what you have to work on. So that the way the schedule laid out for them definitely should help. I mean, it came at a good time because they definitely needed it. It's going to be a brutal gauntlet from here on out, so they better enjoy Nichols State and Coppin State while they can, because it's going to be a brutal schedule. I mean, the Big Ten to me is not fantastic this year. I don't, other than Purdue. I mean, Purdue might be the best team in the country, definitely top three, I'd say. But outside of them, I'm not overly impressed with any of the Big Ten teams. But it's just like it is every year. It's solid from top to bottom. Maryland's looking way closer to the bottom of the conference than the top right now. So right now it's, you know, can they beat Penn State thank God, took it to overtime to do so. But, you know, are they going to beat Minnesota? Are they going to beat Northwestern? Are they going to beat Rutgers? Are they going to beat these teams that they're kind of like on even par with? And if they don't take care of those games, well, I don't think they are even par with them from where they should be, but the way they're playing, they are. So they don't take care of those games, this season could really get ugly. So I'm hoping that they can build some momentum and maybe give UCLA a run for its money, use our experience against their inexperience to at least keep the game close. I mean, I think if we play them close, I see KenPom's calling it a 4-point win for UCLA right now, which I would almost take that as a moral victory as a Maryland fan, considering. I don't know how others
are better than last year. I mean,
right.
You talk about the experience, you know, Maryland obviously brought a decent number of guys back from last year. Those guys remember what UCLA did to them in College Park.
That's a very good point, right? Because they don't have necessarily a lot of the same guys from that team, but we do, or at least a lot of the same starters for them. So, yeah, that could be a big factor in this game, a little bit of a revenge factor. I'm surprised to see a narrow 4-point line by KenPom. I don't know what the actual line is, but I'm sure it's relatively close to that. And yeah, that would be nice. It would be nice to see a competitive game from this team, because that would just show me, I mean, it's tough to win on the road in college basketball. Another thing Turgeon used to say ad nauseum, but you know, people want to see this team compete the way that they should. It's been bad body language. It's been bad basketball for the most of the year. So they obviously looked good the other night against Alcorn State. Can you carry that over into better competition? We'll find out.
Right, and it really comes down, we talk about it every couple weeks when we do this, it comes down to shooting. And that is one thing I wanted to touch on, is the shooting looked better again against Alcorn State. How much can you read into that? Probably not much. But they were making open threes, and they haven't done that all year. And
shooting's a lot
open threes are open threes. Now, there's less pressure in a game at home against the team as bad as Alcorn State, but it didn't seem to matter against some of the other shitty teams that they've played so far this year. So Deshaun Harris-Smith going 3-for-4 from three, that's something we haven't seen all year, even against all the other bad teams that they've played. So hopefully that, and I think that's what it comes down to for a lot of these guys, and Kevin Willard's talked about it, Jamie Kaiser, Deshaun Harris-Smith, it's confidence. And to this point, they've lacked that confidence. And if they play with the confidence, then they're playing up to their potential. And we know that their potential is way higher than what they've shown.
Yeah.
So if Jamie Kaiser, and it seems like Kaiser's figuring out his role in the offense. Earlier it was, if he got the ball and he was anywhere close to open, he was jacking up a shot, whether it was bad or not. Right. To this point, it seems like he's learning what a good shot is. Deshaun Harris-Smith, I mean, look, he was not ever expected to be a world beater. I know we had that game in high school where he hit like 20 threes in a game or something ridiculous that they always talk about. But he was not ever supposed to be the lights out 3-point shooter. If he can just be respectable from out there and then make teams pay on the drive, you know, and hopefully this kind of starts to snowball. You know, Nicholls State, hopefully we see more of those positive signs tonight, because if we see a step back, then that's really a bad sign. But if they can show that tonight against Nicholls and then go on the road against UCLA and just don't get blown out of the building like you did last year, you know, because that's the really one of the few games last year where they looked like they have for most of this year, which is lifeless. So, yeah, I mean, look, UCLA's more beatable this year than they were last year. Now it's a road game. But take advantage of some of that inexperience on their end, the fact that they really haven't played anybody at home this year. Make it a game. And that's then you've got Coppin State at home when you come back on a Thursday night, and then Big Ten play. And it starts against Purdue. So welcome back to Big Ten play, January 2nd, a big game on, a Tuesday night. Against Purdue.
Yeah. And how nice would it be going into that game if they could somehow pull off the upset out west? You know, you're riding then a 5-game winning streak, hosting the number, whatever they'll be at the time, team in the country. That's awesome. I mean, that's whether or not they win or lose or get blown out by Purdue or whatever, that would lead some hype into this game. That would get the fan base, you know, rejuiced up. I mean, like you said, UCLA, with the inexperience, they have lost 4 of their last 6. And I think that has to do with similar things that Maryland's going through, trying to incorporate freshmen into the starting lineup and get them acclimated to college basketball. This game between us and them could be a matter of whose freshmen have figured it out faster and first. Luckily, we have some more upperclassmen throughout the lineup. But, you know, that really does seem to be, you don't see outside of Kentucky and Duke a ton of starting freshmen in college basketball anymore. It's a lot of upperclassmen in most cases, especially because of the transfer portal and all. So, yeah. This is not typical for even a UCLA team, or at least Mick Cronin's UCLA teams that we've seen. So, if you're ever going to beat a UCLA team in LA, this is the time to do it. I wish we were rolling out a squad I had more confidence in right now, but, it's balanced out by the fact that it's not last year's UCLA team, and maybe some revenge factor.
And regardless of what happens on the court, it will be an entertaining broadcast. If you're watching on ESPN, mm-hmm. Bill Walton, it'll be his first game of the year. So yeah. There's that. I know it's a lover. I love Bill Walton. I can't get enough of him. He lives 5 minutes away from me here in San Diego.
That's fine.
I haven't seen him around. Apparently he's seen in Balboa Park all the time. Haven't seen him yet. I love Bill Walton.
Listening to him. But yeah. I don't know if I'm going to like him calling the game against my team. I don't know. I can't remember if I've had that experience yet or not, but,
well, I'll give him a little credit because he might be really sad because this is his first broadcast since like the dissolution of the Pac-12, the Conference of Champions. So,
right. who knows what he's going to, you know, say now about whatever conference UCLA will be in the Big Ten, right? So maybe we'll be the Conference of Champions.
We'll be the Conference of Champions along with everything else. The Conference of Cheaters too, if you're Michigan, but it is what it is. So all things to watch for, be sure to join us on the message board, BaltimoreSportsAndLife.com, for all the basketball games and the bowl game against Auburn, Music City Bowl in Nashville. I will have a bowl game preview up some point before the game. Pat's got articles up, BaltimoreSportsAndLife.com. Mike's got articles up too. We will be back after the holidays at some point, so everybody happy holidays. And until next time, I'm Zach Kiesel for Pat Donahue. @TalkingTerpsBSL is the Twitter handle. Roll Terps.